As I mentioned last night, we'd like to look into some of the compound names of Jehovah. When we began our worship this morning, let them praises give Jehovah. And I didn't think of that at the time, but as I stood behind the pulpit here and sang with you, I said, oh, that's a good song to start with. Jehovah. Maybe Brother Paul had that in mind. I don't know when he was playing it on the organ, but it worked out beautifully. And I'd like to talk about that name that I think is most familiar to us, the Lord, my shepherd. And they tell us that in the Hebrew, the word is Roi. Now, I'm probably pronouncing a Hebrew word with an English pronunciation. I don't know. R-O-I. Jehovah Roi. The Lord, my shepherd. And, of course, we think of Psalm 23. That's in the original language. You would read that right there. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, and so on. It's one of our very familiar psalms to us, and one reason it's so familiar is because there's such blessing there for us. And so we feed upon that, those precious truths, and are blessed. Let me take you through some verses in the Bible. The picture of God being our shepherd, God revealing himself to us as our shepherd, is one of the most tender revelations, most precious and tender pictures of God in the Bible. My wife likes to think of Jesus as her shepherd. I know that comes up a lot in things she says and things she sings. She even draws pictures of little sheep once in a while. And because that's very precious to her, to think of herself as in his flock and under his care. And that's what the thought of God being our shepherd emphasizes, his tender care over his people. It speaks of intimacy, of a loving, tender relationship, of he taking responsibility for us and watching over us. You know, that means everything to us. The world is a harsh place to live. And it means everything to know that someone is caring for you in such a tender way. The Bible tells us to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. Whatever concerns you concerns Jesus. Whatever care you have in your life, he wants you to cast that upon him so that he can take care of you. And doesn't want you to try to take care of yourself. In the Bible, the first mention of a shepherd is Abel. Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep or the flock. The first mention of God as our shepherd in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 48. Let's turn there for a second, and we'll see where we first see God referred to as a shepherd. Genesis 48:15. Here Jacob is speaking with Joseph, his son. And in the 15th verse, it says, "And he blessed Joseph and said, Be God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day." Now, who has the NIV translation? Anybody have a New International Version? Who's got it? Could you read that for us, please?
15?
Yes, 48:15.
"Then he blessed Joseph and said, May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who have been my shepherd all my life to this day."
Amen. There we see it. It's a little clearer in the NIV that's brought out to us. The God who has been my shepherd. Jacob said that about the Lord. He looked back at his life, and he was an old man now. And you know something about the story of Jacob? You read his story in Genesis, and you see, my, all the winding paths that he took in life. Many wrong choices, many right choices. But he said, looking back, as I come to this day, I look back and I I see that God has been my shepherd. He has fed me. He has led me. And he's been with me all along the way. There's a song that I like very much. Jesus led me all the way. And talks there in that song about when I get to the end of my life and I'm standing there in heaven, I'm going to look back over my life. And all the whys, I guess, will be answered then, or maybe they won't matter anymore. And I'll look back and I'll be able to say, looking back over my life, Jesus led me all the way. Step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burden down, Jesus led me all the way. And the song goes on to talk about that, how God led him through all the winding paths on earth. Praise God. We don't always see that very clearly as we're going through it, but you ever have an experience where you look back and then you say, wow, the Lord was right there with me. The Lord arranged that. The Lord brought me through. Jesus led me all the way because he is Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. Now, God's people in the Bible are referred to as sheep. You know that. Brother Eddie called our attention to Psalm 100. And there it says that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and that we ought to come into his presence with singing and so on. Psalm 100. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, Isaiah 53:6, let's look at that. It tells us that the sheep decided to go astray. Verse 6. We have someone over here. Johanna, can you read that for us, please?
Verse 6?
Yes.
We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Okay, here's that wonderful chapter, the prophetic chapter, speaking of Jesus coming and his atoning sacrifice for us. He says, all we, speaking of the human race, but he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We didn't follow the shepherd. We wanted to go our own way. Everyone hath turned to his own way. That's the problem with the human race. Instead of following our shepherd and keeping ourselves under his care, we have decided to go our own way. Lead our own lives. Make our own decisions. I was reading a book recently that interested me, and it said there that when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you read that in the book of Genesis, it says, God said, now man has become like us, knowing the difference between good and evil. And sometimes I would wonder about that, because when you look at man, they don't know the difference between good and evil. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they call evil good and good evil. They've got it all mixed up. But the idea there is that now, apart from us, man has decided to discern for themselves which what is good and what is evil. Before they partook of that fruit, they were dependent upon God for everything. And whatever God said was good, and whatever God said was wrong. But now, independent of God, man was going to make their own decisions about good and evil. And they certainly made a mess of things. We've gone astray. We've turned to our own way. We want to make our own decisions. We want to choose our own path in life. You know, people don't think, well, what does God want to do with my life? What am I here for? They think, what do I want to do with my life? I want to make a lot of money. I want a lot of prestige. I want to become famous. I want to make a name for myself. I was at a graduation the other day. It was my son's graduation. He was 5 years old and graduated kindergarten. He had a cap and gown. It was quite a sight. But it wasn't just a kindergarten graduation. There were other homeschool graduates, and there were a few high school graduates. And at the end of the graduation, the lady that was in charge of that ceremony and in charge of the homeschool group with her husband, she said, I feel that the Lord would like the fathers to come and to bless their graduates, the high school graduates. And so one father came up and prayed for his daughter. Another father came up and gave some good advice, godly advice. And one father really impressed me. His son evidently is a very intelligent young man, very gifted, very promising. And he turned to him and he said, son, don't go out and seek to make them as much money as you can for yourself. And then he said, and don't try to make a name for yourself. And he went on talking to him like that. He said, but go out to live for God's glory. Go and glorify the Lord with your life. Making a lot of money is not the important thing. Becoming famous is not the important thing. Making a name for yourself. He said, the important thing is that you live to glorify God. I thought that was the best advice he could give him. Maybe he'll make a lot of money, and maybe he'll accomplish something great, but you can't do anything greater than that, to live for God's glory. And so we, like sheep, have gone astray. And because we went astray and we decided to run our own lives and do things our own way, God had to send his son to bring us back. And he had to pay a great price in order to bring us back. The only sin, really, that's mentioned in Isaiah 53 as to why Jesus Christ had to come and die was because we have gone our own way. And, of course, that has manifested itself in many evil, evil things throughout the world. Men and women going their own way. And so we're his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, but we decided to go astray. Wandered from the fold. Went our own way. Now God not only holds us responsible for that, but as far as his people were concerned, he held the leaders responsible. Turn with me to Jeremiah 50. And we'll see there that God holds the leaders, the religious leaders of the people, responsible for his people going astray. Jeremiah 50, verse 6. Sister Kathy, you have that, please? The Kathy with the glasses?
My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place.
Their shepherds have turned them, caused them to go astray. God deals very severely with the leaders of the children of Israel, the religious leaders in particular. Let's turn to Ezekiel 34, and we'll see the woes that are pronounced upon the shepherds of Israel. Beginning with the second verse, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them and are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And we won't read all the way down to the 10th verse, but you'll see there are other woes that are pronounced. And he goes into more detail and speaks of the judgment that will come upon the under-shepherds, those that God had set up over the children of Israel to care for them. You know, God's loving care is often expressed through his servants. The pastors, the shepherds here, they were to not take advantage of the sheep, but they were supposed to take care of the sheep as an expression of God's love for them. And they were to shepherd the flock of God. Now, God promises to gather his sheep. They've gone astray. Shepherds have driven them away from the Lord. But here we read some wonderful promises in the Bible where God promises to go after his sheep and to restore them to his fold. Let's stay in Ezekiel 34, and Philip's going to read for us. You know, we have a special for us at camp this year because we have cousins. My children have cousins on both sides of the family. On my side of the family, they have the little cousins. And on Lily's side of the family, they have the really big, big cousins. And Philip and David and Timmy. And so Philip, one of the big cousins, is going to read verse 23 and 24 for us. Oh, no, 11 and 12. I'm sorry, we'll get to that later. 11 and 12. Ezekiel 34.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness.
And of course you could go on, but we won't. There the Lord says, my shepherds, my under-shepherds drove my sheep and scattered them and took advantage of them, so I myself will seek them out. I'm going to go find them. And we read more about how he went about doing that. Let's keep your finger in that chapter and turn to Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Jeremiah 3:15. Someone can read that if you have it and would like to.
I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
I'm going to seek my sheep from the places where they've strayed, and I'm going to give them pastors that really have a heart for them, that will really teach them my ways. Verse 23 and 24, back to Ezekiel 34, has the similar thought here. Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24. You got that, Minerva, please, sister?
I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Amen. I'll make a covenant of peace with them, and so on. I'm going to have one shepherd over them. And he speaks about his servant David, but we understand that prophetically he wasn't just speaking about David, of course. David was long gone by now, but he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who had come from the lineage of David. I'm going to set him, my servant David, as a shepherd over my flock. And they'll have one shepherd, and I'll make a covenant of peace with them. Isaiah 40:11. Beautiful verse. We hear it sung when we listen to Handel's Messiah. Isaiah 40:11. One person over here. You have it? Abigail, please.
He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young.
Amen. Can't you hear that being sung? Those that know that that piece. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he'll carry them in his arms, gather those that have gone astray. So God promises to gather his sheep one day and to set a shepherd over them that will really love them and care for them, and under shepherds that will watch out for them as well. Now, when we get into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, we read about the coming of Jesus into the world. And it's very significant for a number of reasons that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Because that's where the sacrificial lambs were raised, they tell us. In the town of Bethlehem, primarily. And Someone could read Matthew 2:6. David, you got that? Matthew 2:6, please.
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.
Okay, you read out of the New International Version, didn't you? Yeah. There again, we see that word shepherd come out more clearly there. He, ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. This is the one that God had been speaking of in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and so on. Here it's quoted from Micah 5:2, where it's told us that the shepherd that God would send would be born in the city of Bethlehem. When Herod questioned the wise men, or the wise men questioned Herod, Herod asked the leaders where the Christ should be born. They referred to this prophecy in Michael. That's where the shepherd will be born that God will raise up. In John chapter 1:29, we see that Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. Christ becomes both Lamb and Shepherd. He became one of us, one of the sheep, and yet he was raised up as our shepherd. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said in pointing Jesus out to his disciples. Let's turn to Matthew 9:36, and we see the attitude that Jesus had toward those that were lost and needy. Matthew 9:36. Someone can read that for us? Brother Eddie, you can jump in there too, you know. If you'd like.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? Jesus came to be our shepherd. And as he's ministering among the multitudes of people, you see that's in his heart. These people have no shepherd. These people are lost and they're scattered. They're in danger. They need me. His heart was moved with compassion toward them. You know, it's one thing to feel bad for people and feel sorry for people. Compassion is deeper than that, isn't it? It's empathizing with people or sympathizing with them in such a way that you have to do something about it. There are some people that I can walk past and I can feel bad for, and it bothers me for a little while. I say a little prayer for them and then I forget it. But then there are other people I can't just leave it at that. I've got to do something about it. That's more compassion. And compassion doesn't have to do with whether people deserve your love or not. I was talking to someone one time about a person that made a bit of a mess of their lives. And their attitude was, well, they made those choices. They got themselves into that problem. Really, they made a mess of things. And I said, I know that's true. They did. But because they did, that doesn't mean they hurt any less. Because they brought it upon themselves, that doesn't mean that their life isn't miserable. And let's forget for a moment about who's responsible. And let's just feel for them for a moment. And look at their condition and let our hearts go out to them. I don't know if I said all that. I probably thought most of it. But that's compassion. You know, not, well, you made your bed, so lie in it. It's your own fault. Compassion is, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. You're miserable, you're in need, and my heart goes out. I want to see that suffering relieved. And Jesus was moved with compassion toward these sheep. They had no direction. They couldn't find their way home. They sheep don't have much of a sense of danger, and they walk right into it, and Jesus saw these people doing that every day of their lives. They don't know how to take care of themselves. You look at families nowadays, and you say, these people don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know how to take care of their children. You go to the supermarket, you see the way parents treat their children, the screaming. In the city, I walk down the street, sometimes I hear a mother cursing at her child, and they don't know how to take care of themselves. Jesus had compassion. Sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew 23, it reminds us of Ezekiel, because there Jesus pronounces woes upon the shepherds. The leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, they now were to be the shepherds of God's people, and they failed miserably as well. And many of the same things that he accuses the scribes and Pharisees of, Ezekiel had pronounced woes against the other leaders in his day. Matthew chapter 23, beginning with the 13th verse, we read there, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Now, I should turn to it and find it there. It's too long to read all of it right now. But in the 23rd chapter, 13th verse, "You shut up the kingdom against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither you allow them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make a long prayer. Therefore you'll receive greater condemnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You compass sea and land to make a proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves, blind leaders of the blind, blind guides, excuse me. Whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but if you swear by the gold of the temple, that really matters." And Jesus, you hear Jesus pronouncing these same judgments against them that we read in the book of Ezekiel. And then to bring things together, Jesus made it very clear what his mission was. He knew that he had come to be both the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, so that he might become the shepherd and fill that role in our lives, the one who cares for us and leads us. And so Jesus, in Matthew 15:24, he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He said that to the Syrophoenician woman who was asking him to have mercy upon her daughter. And he did have mercy upon her. But he speaks of the house of Israel's lost sheep. In Luke chapter 15, we read that beautiful parable of the shepherd going after that one lost sheep that had strayed. That speaks of God's love for the individual. And he comes back and finds that sheep and comes back rejoicing, carrying that sheep upon his shoulders. "Rejoice with me, for that which was lost is found." Luke 19:10. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save the lost." The shepherd has come to seek out and to save those that were lost. He said that to Zacchaeus when he was come down from his tree. In John 10:16, Jesus said, "Other sheep have I have which are not of this fold. There shall be one fold and one shepherd," just as was prophesied, as we read before. And now all of this was accomplished through the death and suffering of Jesus. Someone turn to Matthew 26. We just have a few more verses, and then we'll bring this to a close. Matthew 26, I think the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, as it describes for us what took place there in Gethsemane. And in the 26th chapter, in the 30th and 31st verse, who would like to read that for us, please? John, you got that, Eindrak? Thank you.
"And when they had sung and him, and they went out into the Mount of Olives, then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad."
Okay, there he's quoting from Zechariah. "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter." And that had to do with Jesus' arrest and then the suffering and the crucifixion. The shepherd, Jesus, identifying himself as the shepherd, foretold in the Old Testament, "I will smite the shepherd, and all the sheep will scatter." But it was through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus that he would gather again into one fold the sheep of his pasture. Now, in the book of John, and I'll just refer to these, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus refers himself as the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd." And what does it say there? It says, "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. When we think of Jesus as the good shepherd, we think of him laying down his life for the sheep. He's already proven that he's loved them. He's come down from heaven to be their shepherd. And it says here, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, in the book of Hebrews, he's referred to as that great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13. It's in the benediction there. It is often pronounced over meetings, just like the benediction we heard yesterday, letting you know the meeting was over. In Hebrews 13, now, I'm turning to it too slowly. You know that by heart, Brother Eddie? Can you quote that for us?
I think I could. Now the God of peace, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, to make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Don't go yet. Now, the great shepherd of the sheep, he raised him from the dead. Jesus, our good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. Our great shepherd speaks of the resurrection, that he was raised from the dead to perfect God's work in our lives. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, and that's our last verse, Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd who is going to return with rewards for all his faithful under-shepherds. Verse chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Here Peter's writing to the under-shepherds, the pastors of the church. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you have a shepherd over you too, you shepherds. And when your chief shepherd, the chief shepherd, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus, our chief shepherd, is coming to reward us for faithfully serving him and his people. Now, when I was in a Bible class, the pastor that was teaching that class said, in my office, I have a picture of a shepherd standing watch over his sheep, and there's in that picture a sheepdog as well. And I said, when I sit behind my desk and I'm praying for God's people and so on, I often look up at that picture and I think of my role and the responsibility that I have before God in caring for his people. And he said, there's the sheep, that's the people of God. He said, and then there's the shepherd. And I thought he was going to say, that's me, the pastor. He said, no, that's Jesus. And there's the sheepdog. That's me. The sheepdog gets his orders from the shepherd and then barks him out to the to the sheep. And he said, you know, that's how it is with a minister. We're supposed to get our orders from the chief shepherd, and then we're supposed to pass them on to the sheep and make sure that they're safe and where they're supposed to be taken care of. Well, it's not wrong to think of a pastor as an under-shepherd, but I think he just wanted to keep a humble attitude, and so he said, that's me, the sheepdog. I like that. I've never forgotten that. It reminds us we have a chief shepherd over us, so we've got to get our orders from the chief shepherd. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful that we, living in this world, we have a shepherd? And when you look at the people in the world, we ought to feel that in our hearts. They're lost. They're as sheep without a shepherd. No wonder they act the way they do and live the way they do. But there is a shepherd. And there is a flock. And God has sent his own son to pay such a great price so that he could be Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. I think in Spanish, Brother Izzy will help me with this. Psalm 23. El Señor es mi pastor. Yeah, is that good? No? I went to a Spanish funeral service, and they had the Lord is my shepherd on the back of the card there, and said the Lord is my shepherd. And the word there was pastor, which it goes right along with this, doesn't it? The shepherds are the pastors, but the Lord is my pastor, my shepherd. Praise God. Let's sing Jesus like a shepherd, Savior like a shepherd, lead us, and then we'll be dismissed. Children are going on hikes today, I understand. Praise God.
369.
Thank you. 369 in our hardcovered book. We can stand together while we sing. Let's make it our prayer.
For us. Thank you that you have sought us out and brought us to your fold. Thank you for all of your provision over us, your protection, your blessing, your concern, your loving and personal concern for each of your sheep. Oh Lord, we thank you that we can go out into this day trusting and following our great shepherd. We praise you, Lord, that you are with us today, manifesting your presence in the camp. And I pray that we shall walk with you, Lord, and
And just keep our hearts wide open to you all day today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.